Atlanta Life Radio Station, WALR, bringing you the best in talk radio.
Well, hi, hello, how is everybody? Welcome back to the show. We've been off now for, a good 6 weeks. Kind of feels good to get back in the saddle. I'm Mark in San Diego. Beth is in Texas. Beth, how are you? First show of the new year. Are you excited?
Oh, beyond excited. Of course I'm excited.
Feels,
6 weeks off, feels, back in the saddle.
Back in the saddle. You know, we got through the holidays, got through New Year. And some exciting stuff that I think is going to happen in 2017. And so we're glad to be back on the air. Glad to have our listeners back. It was a great first year, and it flew by. And we've almost been doing this. We did this for almost a full year already. Isn't that crazy?
It is crazy. I've missed some shows along the way, but you have done an amazing job.
Yes,
it's been almost a year. You have.
You realize that you have put up with me with my shenanigans now for a full year, and you've lived to tell about it. Good for you.
I know. Thank you.
Good for you for hanging in there. So,
yeah, it's been fun.
It's been fun. So good for show. We have an announcement here too. So let's get through that. So Abigail Caudill. Is our guest. She's coming up in the second half hour. She's fantastic. She's a surgical oncologist with MD Anderson Cancer Center down there in Houston. So looking forward to having her on the show. She's great. Also, Beth, you'll find this of interest. We talked about this. We are going through a name change. So I don't know how you feel about that. You feeling good about that? We're going to move to it's going to be called Up to Me. We're transitioning from Atlanta Life Radio to Up to Me, just UP, the number 2, and then ME. So we'll have details. That's going to start beginning of February. So starting the week of February 1st, we will make that smooth transition. Our producer, Mel D, has been working tirelessly on this transition. So expect even better and bigger things as we move along with that. So anytime you have this kind of transition in the media world, it's always exciting, and there's always a lot of behind the scenes work, and but it's full throttle ahead. So people, you can still check us out though at ALR Radio for now on Twitter, and you can always follow what we're doing at Going Gym Free. You can look at the videos on YouTube, on our YouTube channel, the Going Gym Free YouTube channel, and like us on Facebook and do all the things that you normally do, but we'll keep you updated as we keep doing shows, and we'll slowly make this transition. So Beth, that is the media world. I've been in it a long time, and I know you're more new to it, but we see these transitions. So I think this is going to be exciting. What do you think?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I know they have a magazine called Up to Me magazine.
Yep.
So it's just going to go partner up with that. And what a good way to build on that brand.
Yeah, and I'm hoping in the new year that we you know, you and I maybe write some articles for the magazine and kind of get more involved with that as well as the brand expands. So that's good.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to tell you a quick funny, not funny, but it seems to happen to me. It didn't happen to me last year, but it happened to me this year. I always seem to get a cold or some kind of sickness. You know how I am. I try to stay healthy and all the stuff. But and it always happens at the football playoffs. So there's always one weekend. And I would say it's good timing because at least there's something on TV, but it always seems to happen to me that I get a cold and I'm okay. But I spent a lot of time on the couch this last weekend watching football, and I'm better now, but it's just weird how that there's always that one weekend of the year where I tend to watch all four football. And the time, it doesn't have – I don't get sick during the week. It's usually I get up on that Saturday morning, I'm like, uh-oh, I'm sick. And it just – sit on the couch for 2 days. And although I would imagine there are plenty able-bodied people that do that as well around football playoff time. So I know. Well, your team down there in Texas, the Houston Texans, they've moved on. They're advancing, and isn't the Super Bowl's in Houston this year too, right? So
it is. It is. You see the hubbub around Houston about the Super Bowl. My team is out. Your team is out. But my second team is the Texans. So go Texans! Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My team was out in October. They were long gone. We packed it in early, and that's kind of how we roll in San Diego when it comes to sports. We don't have a lot of drama out here. We bow out early, and that's kind of how it's been going. So, that's kind of how it was. And then just catching people up. My New Year's Eve was very quiet. Didn't do anything. I'm not the big partier like you, Beth.
I was watching TV asleep by, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock on New Year's Eve. So not so much.
You did not stay up to watch Ryan Seacrest do his thing
and
the ball drop. I know. So that was New Year's. I did the same thing. I sat around with Murray, hung out with Murray, and watched TV. And I tend to stay up just that one night, no reason, but I did. So good. So now we're in 2017. Good time because now it's January. I know you're busy with wellness, as am I, as people, with their New Year's resolutions and they want to get healthier and fit and happy. So we're going to keep the ball rolling with that. I know you wanted to talk a little bit about your relationship with our guest today and why this topic is something that kind of hits close to home to you, right?
I know we've had a lot of guests. October, November, into December, we had, I don't know, 4 or 5 guests geared around breast cancer. And, I just want to let our audience know that April 1st of 2016, yes, April Fool's Day, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. So come on, Mark, it was such a shock for me and for you and for people close to me, because I'm a healthy person. And I was really embarrassed for the longest time. I mean, I've worked in corporate wellness for so many years where people around the world ask me about their health, and it was such a hard pill for me to swallow. But, after my initial shockness wore off, I became determined to find answers. I called doctors across the country, interviewed experts in alternative medicine, and then I dove headfirst into the fascinating and bizarre world of cancer. But, and I decided on doing the traditional treatment, the chemo, the surgery, the radiation, along with alternative medicine on the side, which was good for me. But along the way, I met some amazing spirited doctors. One of those doctors was Dr. Abigail Cottle from MD Anderson. He's our guest today, and I just love her. As well as I met researchers and other women who are determined to become survivors and thrivers, and their stories are so captivating and exciting. And again, that's why we had Dr. V on, Susie Craig, Dr. Pam from MD Anderson on as guests the past few months. But, as my journey progressed, I completely realized that healing is truly about living an attitude. And Dr. Cottle helped me with that. But it's about rising to the challenge, of life and turning a negative into a positive. So that's what I've been trying to do this past year.
And you've been amazing. And I remember when you told me about it, your diagnosis, I immediately thought, I've known you a while, that we've been close friends a long time. I thought if there's going to be one person that that gets through this probably with flying colors, it was going to be you. I know you've had your moments. I know that, you know, I can't put myself in your shoes, obviously, but you have handled this. You've been amazing. And so anybody out there that has listened to you and gone through these interviews, and you have been an amazing person. You rarely missed a show, and this was always something that was very important to you to come on and you know, even though I had told you if you're not feeling up to it, you kept doing it. You're doing great. And so maybe tell the audience where you're at in with treatment now. You're kind of finishing up treatment now, right?
Yes, I'm finished with the traditional treatment, the chemo, the hard chemo, and I'm not going to get into all that. My cancer was estrogen, HER2 positive, which basically means I had a lot of estrogen in my body, so I have to have Herceptin infusions for the next 7 months, which I'm not looking forward to, but it's easy peasy, 30 minutes in, out, go to work, I'm good to go. So it's been, I've had my moments, like you said, but there's a couple of people that really are just amazing. And I've made friends I would not have if it hadn't been for this diagnosis. So it's been a journey.
Yeah. And we're glad that you're doing well and glad
Thank
that you,
you.
Can, you know, and spread the message and the love and tell your story. And so other women out there and family members, because everybody goes through it when someone's going through it. It affects more than just that person. And you've been an amazing inspiration to me, the way you've handled it. So,
Thank you.
Yeah, 2017 is going to be a big year for us. So we're moving forward, and keep up your positive attitude. So good.
I'm glad we got you.
I'm glad we got that out there. Somebody's got to be positive. It better be you, because I tend to be the other. We're the balancing act.
Yes, we are.
That was one of my things too. For my New Year's resolution was to, and I'm generally, you know, I joke about it a lot, but I'm generally a pretty positive guy. So, but this year I really wanted to take it to another level with it and say, hey, you know what? It's just be happy that with what you have. And keep moving forward. And I look around and I see people that the friendships that mean a lot to me, and that really means everything. So I don't want to get too deep and sappy. We want to.
Yeah.
But you know what
you
I'm. You know
sappy,
what I'm getting
honest.
At.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, let's do this. Let's move on to. We haven't done this in a while, right? The Ask Beth segment.
It's been a while. So
Let's get you back on the horse with us and kind of see how smart you are and how smart I'm not. All right. So let's throw a question out here for you.
The
first question is from Candace Johnson. Can you tell me what you know about leaky gut and how to fix it?
Leaky gut. Okay, leaky gut syndrome is a condition that's also referred to as an increased intestinal problem where the net, quote-unquote net, in your digestive tract gets damaged, and that can allow proteins like gluten, bad bacteria, and undigested particles to pass into your bloodstream. And the problem with this is these particles can cause inflammation and ultimately an immune reaction over time. So with leaky gut, the pores in your gut continue to widen. It's kind of like getting larger holes torn into your quote-unquote net that I was just talking about. And as this happens, the undigested food particles that are supposed to be kept out pass through your bloodstream and then circulate throughout the body. And this can cause inflammation and lead to an immune reaction. And I guess oftentimes when your body begins to realize that certain foods is toxic instead of as nutrition, that can be a problem, and then leaky gut can progress into autoimmune disease. So I guess that some of the first initial symptoms of leaky gut can include food allergies, skin issues, digestive issues like bloating, gas, IBS, that sort of thing. But in order to repair leaky gut, you're going to have to make dietary changes, eliminating gluten, from your diet. That's a really big thing. And I could get into a whole science lesson about how your gut system can actually heal itself in 3 to 4 days. And so if you do eat gluten, it's not the end all be all, but eliminate as much as you can, because it's really hard, as well as taking digestive enzymes, which can help. And there's so much more about leaky gut that I don't know. So I'm going to encourage our listeners to look up Dr. Axe online, because he is the expert in this, and he's kind of my wellness hero. But Dr. Mm-hmm. Axe online, and he can, or, you know, Google leaky gut, and but that's what I know about leaky gut, and it can be a problem for a lot of people, because a lot of people are gluten sensitive and don't even realize it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's I know, and the problem is that if they don't recognize it, and gluten is in everything. It's in just
it
well, not in everything, but you know what I mean. It's in, so when people make that transition to go gluten free, it's a big transition. It's a big deal.
You know,
because it's everywhere.
It is, and I've had gluten free like rice bread, and it is horrible. But I've had some really good gluten free bread, and it's better than the traditional wheat bread and whatnot. So you just have to play with different brands, and eco bread is good because it's sprouted grains and whatnot. But
that's so funny that you said that, because it is like there are gluten free products that are good or just the same as if you had it, you know, with gluten. And then I had a friend of mine say, his wife went is gluten free, and she brought home a gluten free pizza, and he said he would rather just he thought he was eating the pizza box. So for all the people out there, I'm not taking a shot at the pizza, but so it's hit or miss. I'm sure there's wonderful gluten free pizza. I just thought that was kind of funny, because if you're not used to that diet, that can happen. It takes a while to make that change. So
yeah, absolutely.
All right. Question two: is taking or drinking apple cider vinegar healthy? I tried it a few times and it gave me heartburn. Leslie Haney asked that question.
Okay. Actually, apple cider vinegar is one of my favorite kind of natural remedies, and I actually drink it every day. So have you ever taken a shot of apple cider vinegar?
I have. Yeah, I have. It's okay. I don't do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I mean,
like
it's
you.
Not, yeah, it's not the tastiest, but the benefits completely are just amazing. And I actually recommend apple cider vinegar to some of my coworkers or clients. And again, I take it personally for several reasons, including detoxification and improved digestion. But I take a shot of it in the morning. Sometimes it makes me think, why am I doing this? Because it's not real tasty. It's not always easy to get down. But like you said, if it gives you a little bit of a burn, I doubt it's heartburn, but it is a little, you know, it has a strong flavor. So I would recommend you to dilute it with water and then take a couple of shots with it. So, but when I do my shot and I think to myself, why am I doing this? I think it's healthy because the potassium, the magnesium, the probiotic benefit, the enzymes. The medical research is now showing that apple cider vinegar can help with acid reflux, lower blood pressure, diabetes, and support just general wellness and health. So it's a healthy thing.
Yeah, it doesn't. It's not exactly like putting down a red velvet cupcake when you're tasting it. I use that as a reference because I know that's your thing. So maybe that's what you think in your mind when you're taking the vinegar. Maybe you go, oh, this is really this tastes like a red velvet cupcake.
There is absolutely no way you can compare apple cider vinegar and a red velvet cupcake, my friend. But
it's a mental thing. It's a mental thing, you know, get that state
thing.
Of mind. Right.
But I have not eaten sugar, and that's not true. I had a cookie a couple weeks ago, but I have not eaten consistently like sugar, because I used to have a really big sweet tooth. But I have given up sugar, and it's been months since I have consistently had anything sugar. So, but I do miss it. I do miss it from time to time.
Yeah, tough to yeah, I don't eat a lot of sugar too, but sometimes it yeah, cookie tastes good. A cookie tastes better than vinegar. All right. So
yes.
that much we can agree on. But you're right, it is good for you. Okay, so last question from Kevin Mays. How much protein do I need a day? And what are some recommendations on healthy proteins to eat?
You know, that is a great question because protein is so important. And I would say the average person isn't getting enough. I mean, we need to eat plenty of foods, protein foods every single day to keep our metabolism running, our energy up, for our muscles, our blood sugar level stable. But the amount you eat really depends on so many things. But a vanilla answer is basically eat half your body weight in grams per day. And there's some exceptions, like if you work out, or if you're a bodybuilder, then of course you're going to need more protein. But my top fives of that good, healthy proteins to eat would be grass-fed beef, bone broth, lentils, wild fish like salmon, mackerel, tuna, and then organic chicken. Those would kind of be my top. But then you can have other, you know, like kefir is excellent, yogurt's good, walnuts, almonds, but those would be kind of my top five.
Yeah, and keep it to about, what, 10 to 20% of the diet, isn't it something like that, 10 to 20, when you talk about how
I'm
much
not
protein,
really big
you know,
on
the breakdown of the percentage, yeah.
I mean, I will give that out as a tool, mm-hmm. but it's not, I really say about half your body weight and quality protein, and then a little bit mm-hmm. lower on the carbohydrates and maybe, you know, at equal with fats, if I would do that, but I'm not really big on the calorie counting and the breaking down and whatnot. So
yeah,
it's all about the quality food that you eat.
Mhm. Mhm. That was good. No, that was good. So those were the three questions that we got. So thank you for those questions from the employees.
No problem.
And they did a good job with those. So do you have any? Do you have a New Year's resolution with anything with any kind of wellness type stuff? Anything new you're working on, teaching? Because I'm always looking for new stuff for the new year, and I'm always trying
well,
to plan different things. And anything you got
I
cooking?
Personally,
that,
well, I have a big wellness challenge going on at work right now, and I am going bonkers with it, but I love it. I love it. However, personally, I'm just trying really hard this year to be more grateful on just the small things in life. So mm-hmm. I eat pretty healthy. I work out, you know, when I feel up to it. And so just keeping stress at bay and being grateful. Those are kind of the big things. I try to wake up every morning and try to think at least three things that I'm grateful for. And sometimes I'm like rubbing the scrub on just like Fred Flintstone was. But that's kind of
right.
my New Year's resolution.
Yeah. You're so grateful for that co-host of this show.
I am very grateful.
That's always one. And then just figure two more things out, you know?
Yeah,
that's it.
Exactly.
How about these?
Exactly.
Okay, last thing. How about you said, tell me about these challenges. What are anything you can tell us about with these challenges you're doing at work? That anything interesting
Oh, my gosh, it's so much fun. It's
our
so
listeners
much fun.
Might want to try? Anything kind of exciting with these challenges?
Every week what I do is I send out an email to all the employees that are participating, and they get little mini challenges through phone calls. So if someone calls me and they say, hey, listen, I want to lose 20 pounds and I want to become a vegetarian, I will talk it through. Why do you want to become a vegetarian? How do you get your protein? So everybody gets an individualized phone call from me every week, as well as these emails. And then I have a fun little spin on it I've never done before is where I do it Try It Tuesdays, where they can earn extra points along with, you know, the coaching calls and things like that. And yesterday, was a Try It Tuesday where I had the participants do push-ups in their office. So, and they had to take a picture and send to me. So that's a lot of fun. Yeah.
That's good. No, I like that Try It Tuesday. I might steal that from you. That's good.
Track Tuesday, yeah. And they earn points for doing different things. And at the end of the 10 weeks, the five employees that earn the most points, they will get a gift card to a sporting goods store.
You know, if they want, and this is entirely up to you, but if you ever get good pictures feel free to send them over to me, and I will put it up on the Going Gym Free page, and we can say, hey, so-and-so was doing push-ups on Beth's Try It Tuesday. Maybe you should try this or something like that. Yeah, absolutely. So anything, any kind of thing like that would be, I'm happy to help out with that and happy to show our listeners when they look online and talk, you know, see about us that we're actually working in the wellness field as well. So that's awesome.
Yeah.
I like that. Try It Tuesday.
Yeah.
I'm going to try that with Murray today. We're going to tell Murray's going to try to sleep less than 20 hours today. Or yesterday. Or next Tuesday for Try It Tuesday, Murray's going to try to sleep 19 and a half hours.
There
you go. As opposed to 20 to 22. So, yeah, it's good stuff. That's funny. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. Again, people can, if they're listening now, follow us on Twitter, ALR Radio. And again, we have if you missed the top of the show, we are transitioning. We're going to be Up to Me Radio, which is also linked with a magazine, and that's going to start. We're going to change that branding over at the beginning of February. So stay tuned for that. So it's a lot of good things going on here, and here's what we're going to do now. We're going to take a quick break, and then when we come back, we're going to have Dr. Abigail Caudill from MD Anderson Cancer Center. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Atlanta Life Radio Station, WAL.
And we are back here on this first week of January. Hard to believe, Beth. It's already 2017. Oh, my goodness. Where does the time go? Thanks, everybody, for listening. Hope everybody had a safe holiday season and a happy new year. If you're listening to us, you can follow us on Going Gym Free, like us on Facebook, and follow us on Twitter, of course. You can see some of our videos as well on our YouTube, the Going Gym Free YouTube channel. So lots of good stuff. You can always send us an email, too, at goinggymfree@gmail.com. Let's go ahead and bring in our guest right now. Really, really nice person doing really good work as well. Dr. Abigail Caudill, she is a surgical oncologist, a breast cancer specialist with MD Anderson Cancer Center down there in one of our favorite cities of Houston. Dr. Caudill, how are you? Happy holidays, happy new year, all that good stuff. Thanks for taking some time with us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on the show. Good to be here.
Yeah, I hope the new year's off to a good start for you.
So far.
We know you. Yeah, good health and all that stuff. We know you're busy, so thanks for taking the time. Hey, give us a little background on yourself before we get started with everything else.
Sure, I'm originally from Charlotte, North Carolina. I did college and medical school and general surgery training at the University of North Carolina. So I lived in Chapel Hill for about 15 years. And then I became very interested in cancer surgery, so I spent a couple of extra years there doing colon cancer research, and then came to MD Anderson in Houston to further my cancer surgery training, and luckily they hired me to stay on and take care of breast cancer patients. So that's how I ended up here.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad you're there, but since I live in Houston and I was at MD Anderson a lot this past few months, I follow the commercials, I follow the marketing, that MD Anderson just celebrated its 75th birthday, which is really exciting.
Yeah.
But since MD Anderson is known for being so progressive in dealing with all kinds of cancer, can you let our audience know a little bit about MD Anderson's history?
Absolutely. So MD Anderson actually started in the 1940s. There was the king of cotton, MD Anderson. He wasn't actually a doctor. He was a cotton tycoon. Gave a lot of money, and they decided to build a cancer hospital with it. So it started out as a little house. It's really funny to see the pictures of it. And then as it expanded, they built a hospital in the medical center. And actually the first hospital was made of pink marble. Because it's the stone of hope.
Nice.
Yeah, it all came from this quarry in Georgia, which actually the quarry ran out of the marble at some point. But the wanting to focus on that spirit of hope and beating cancer prevailed. And so if you ever come visit, you'll see the whole hospital is made out of pink stone.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, the original hospital is actually still there. And it's my favorite part of the hospital. There's a sky bridge between the operating rooms and where you go out to the lounges and to meet the families and everything. And on this glass sky bridge, you see the original hospital, the pink marble, and where it says MD Anderson Tumor Institute, because that's what it used to be called. And so it's always this just very special moment to remember the history of where we are and the mission of the place. So 75 years later, we've become a huge hospital with all kinds of programs for research and patient care and really some innovative, exciting things going on.
Yeah, no, for sure. That's a really cool story, actually, their history. We're talking with Dr. Abigail Caudill here. She's a surgical oncologist, breast cancer specialist at MD Anderson Cancer Center. We're talking to her here on a Wednesday night. Abigail, this is probably a question that you get a lot, but as a breast cancer surgeon, how far has MD Anderson come in ways of when you're talking about breast cancer research, technology, treatments, et cetera? Where are we at with that? How far has the cancer center kind of come along in these areas?
We've come a really long way. Many years ago, breast cancer was a diagnosis that really had very little promising treatment. And now we have really great chemotherapy, really great anti-hormonal therapy that helps fight the cancer. We've really developed surgery and radiation, and I think we've actually entered this new era of what we call targeted therapy, which is really exciting. We're finding ways that the tumor looks different than other cells in the body, so we have ways to actually target the tumor cells with antibodies and other targeted agents. And I think there's a lot of promising things coming on the horizon. We're doing a lot with immunotherapy, looking at vaccines to help target the cancer cells. I think from a surgical standpoint, we're really learning ways to work with each other to make the surgery better. So, for instance, working with our medical oncologists, because sometimes when they give chemotherapy before surgery, we can shrink the tumor size so we can allow patients to keep their breast that might have needed a mastectomy earlier. We work a lot with our plastic surgeons who do great things with reconstruction, but also help us when we want to do a lumpectomy and try to save a woman's breast. The plastic surgeons can do some techniques that make all of that possible. So I think it's really, we're getting more effective therapies, we're getting better ways to target the cancer and to really focus on the cancer and having patients have a good quality of life when we're done.
Yeah. Everyone's story is different, but Dr. Caudill, can you tell the audience maybe what the process and recovery timetable for maybe a mastectomy, double mastectomy, lumpectomy, or other procedures are, and how does MD Anderson prepare the patient in this journey? I mean, I know what my journey was, but can you just kind of go through that whole timetable and maybe what someone can expect during recovery?
Absolutely. When we talk about a lumpectomy, so we're basically talking about removing the tumor but leaving the rest of the breast in place. The recovery from that is usually pretty quick. It's a small incision. It's usually an outpatient surgery. Most people can be back to work within a week or two. Most of the time they will need radiation after that to treat the rest of the breast. When we start talking about mastectomies, it really depends on reconstruction and what kind of reconstruction we're planning. A mastectomy without reconstruction is an operation that lasts maybe 2 to 3 hours. They're in the hospital overnight, and most people are back to their full activities 3 to 4 weeks after surgery. When we add reconstruction, we add a little bit to that recovery. We also add multiple operations, because most reconstruction takes a couple of operations to fully accomplish. So it really depends on the kind of reconstruction and the setting that we're doing it in. For instance, if patients need radiation, sometimes we need to delay the reconstruction for 6 months to a year so that we can let the radiation changes go away.
Right.
Abigail, it's interesting. I used to be a news reporter, and in San Diego, I remember every year for about 4 or 5 years, I covered the race for the cure, and it was it's this obviously wonderful cause, and I remember meeting so many women, and they told their stories, these success stories where they were in remission and cured, if you will. Mm-hmm. So it's a remarkable effort by people all around the world for this. But, on the human side of this, every patient that you meet is probably scared to some degree when they have, the pre-op consult. What do you tell your patients? I mean, do you tell them, obviously you have to give them a lot of hope, because I think there is a lot of hope now with all the
right.
technology and research and stuff like that. But how do you make someone feel comfortable and not like they're just a number? How do you break that barrier and get them through that?
Well, I think, first of all, it's important to tell people that we do have good therapy for them. I think people get the diagnosis, and it's a very scary diagnosis, and they think of all the people who had bad outcomes and not all the people around them that have great outcomes. So the first thing I try to stress with people is that we have really good therapy for them. I try to stress that no matter what happens, we have the resources here to help them.
Mm-hmm.
we see so many breast cancer patients here. We see all varieties, and so you really have the experts here that have seen it before and can help us decide on the best treatment plan. I also think it helps that we all work together here. For instance, I see patients with radiation oncologists, medical oncologists, plastic surgeons, pathologists. We have a constant communication amongst each other, and so I think that makes patients feel much more peaceful because they know
mm-hmm.
that we're all thinking about them. We're all talking about them and figuring out the best way for us to work together to treat their breast cancer. So a lot of it, I think, is just reassurance that they're in the right place and that we're going to take care of them.
Stress is a hot topic. I mean, we're all stressed out on some level. I know that every day. But how does stress, when dealing with cancer, how important is stress? Keeping stress in check during and after cancer, as well as having maybe a strong support system for the patient?
I think it's very important. This is obviously a very stressful time in people's life. It's usually one of the most stressful times they'll ever have in their life. And I think
right.
it's really important to find a way to work through that stress. I think there's lots of different ways. One is a good support system, support of your family and friends around you. I also encourage patients to find breast cancer support groups. I know when my mother was going through breast cancer, she was living with me as she was getting treated at MD Anderson, that she had a woman's support group that met every other Friday for lunch. And that was such a great thing for her because it was people that she could really just be real with and ask questions, and they had been through it. They knew exactly what was going on, and I think it was really helpful for her. So I always advise patients to find a support group around them. I also think it's important to continue things like exercise and all of those healthy ways that we know we can treat stress, just like we do when we don't have cancer. It's also important to do them when you do have cancer. So all of those things are important.
Yeah, for sure.
We're talking with Dr. Abigail Caudle with the MD Anderson Cancer Center. She's a surgical oncologist, breast cancer specialist. Abigail, you probably get this question a lot more nowadays, probably in the last 5-10 years, about natural or alternative treatments. We see that if you go on the internet or you type and you look around and you kind of go through the internet, you see different things. And I know people are always looking at their options before they make a final decision on something with treatment. Where do you sit on that with the natural and alternative treatments?
I think that there is a lot for us to learn from natural and alternative treatments. I tell people that it's okay to do them in conjunction with traditional treatment. So, for instance, we have an integrative medicine department here, and they're very knowledgeable about supplements and vitamins and things like that. And so when the patient's on chemotherapy, they can visit with them, and they can learn about what other supplemental treatments might help them, but also make sure that they're not taking something that actually hinders the chemotherapy. But where I find alternative treatments really helpful is with symptom relief. So, for instance, acupuncture we know is very effective for some of the bone and muscle pains that you can get with cancer therapy, and I send many patients to acupuncture for that. I think yoga and meditation are also very, very helpful as people go through this therapy. So I sort of see natural and alternative therapies as a supplement to our traditional therapies.
Yeah, I actually love acupuncture. I love it. I can't say every day, but I really enjoy my acupuncture. But
you've been bragging about that, your acupuncture stuff. You love it.
Yeah, I do. I have a friend who's a pain doctor at Vanderbilt, and you may have seen she has a TED Talk. Her name's Tracy Jackson. She specializes in chronic pain patients and how to get them off of opioids. And she feels very strongly about acupuncture and yoga to the point that she's actually gotten her acupuncture license and her yoga license, and she really uses them with her chronic pain patients to get them off of the opioids. And I think those elements are very important in cancer patients as well.
Yeah.
I think there's so much we don't know about the mind-health connection. So
I always call that the spirit, mind, body. But
yeah.
I'm going to ask a question that I am particularly interested in just because I'm a fitness specialist. But how does lifestyle, like diet and fitness, but how does that play a role in prevention of breast cancer, if it does, as well as help and recovery?
So I think that there's so much we don't know about preventing breast cancer. If we knew the answers, we could tell everybody, and then I would be out of a job, and I would be happily out of a job for that reason. But there's still so much we don't know. We certainly know that living a healthy lifestyle reduces your risk of breast cancer. Keeping a healthy weight, good exercises, things in food in moderation, things like that. We're learning more and more about how those lifestyle elements can be helpful after a breast cancer diagnosis. We know that weight loss is very helpful in reducing the risk of a cancer recurrence. And so there's actually several trials right now looking at ways to empower women to live a healthy lifestyle, with nutritional counseling, exercise coaching, things like that. So I think that they're very important, and I always encourage patients to really have a healthy lifestyle. I don't think you have to go to extremes. Some people want to give up all of soy or all of chocolate or any of those things. But I do think we just have to live in moderation.
Yeah.
No, that's what we always preach. That's what I preach when I do our Going Gym Free seminars and I do consults, is moderation is such a big thing. Last couple of questions for you, and I'm going to kind of ask you a two-part question, Abigail. And you kind of answered this first part about, how MD Anderson stays on the cutting edge of treatment and research. Maybe you can go into a little more detail about that. But the second thing I wanted to kind of wrap things up with is, we have a lot of specialists on in different fields. Can you kind of reiterate to the young woman or older woman out there that may find something suspicious, but kind of has that feeling of, I feel good, I look good, I'm not tired, I don't have any symptoms, so why do I need to go to a doctor? Can you kind of touch on that a little bit as well, that how important these self-exams are and preventative checkups and all of those things? Can maybe touch on that a little bit as well?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll start with the first question on, how we stay on the cutting edge.
Sure.
I think that, it's an institution where we are all very, very much focused on the care of cancer patients and the way to advance our care for them. And it's really very integrated into the mission of this place. Mm-hmm. I think all patients feel it when you're here, that everyone from the technicians that help do the ultrasound, that might pat you on the back and help you through a stressful time, to obviously the physicians and the nurses, we all are here to take care of cancer patients. And that goes into the research as well. I can't tell you how many conversations we have about what's the next trial we should do and how should we do it. And we've been very fortunate here because we've had very generous donors that help pay for all the research so that we can stay on the cutting edge. But also, more importantly, is we have patients that are willing to participate in these trials. And some of those patients get a benefit from them because they get access to drugs that may not be available otherwise. And some patients do it just out of pure generosity, and it's a trial that they know they will not get a benefit from, but they want to help the next patient that comes along. And I'm always just so impressed by the generosity of our patients and how they really want to be a part of this mission and really help us treat cancer and cure cancer. So I think that it really takes all three parts. It takes the researchers, it takes the people willing to give us money to do it, and then it takes the patients who are willing to participate in the trials. As far as the second question about women and the need for screening and self-exam, you know, certainly cancer is much easier to treat when we find it early than when we find it late. And the thing about breast cancer is it often doesn't hurt. Sometimes you can't feel it. You often feel great. There's no other signs or symptoms. And so it's one of the reasons that mammogram is so important, because we can find it before you get those symptoms, and we can treat it while it's early. So I think when women examine their breasts, they feel a mass, they go get a mammogram, those are all really important for us to find breast cancer before it becomes something more difficult to treat. We know that 1 in 8 women will get breast cancer at some point in their life, so it's a pretty common thing. And so the goal is for us to find it as early as possible so that we can take care of it with as least side effects as possible.
Yeah. I was going to maybe ask one quick follow-up for you as well. Does your job now, is it a little more personal considering you have someone close to you like your mom going that has gone through it? Does it make, when you go into work each day, you think a little more about it because it's such a personal kind of thing, connection for you?
I think that going through it with my mother made me understand the patient perspective a little bit more. I was already a breast cancer surgeon here, believe mm-hmm. it or not, when she was diagnosed. And so I was already committing myself really full-time to taking care of breast cancer patients, but it definitely gave me a different perspective. It made me understand some of the side effects a little bit more because I was living with them and could see how annoying some of the side effects were from chemotherapy or for how annoying the drains were from surgery, things like that. And so it definitely gave me that other side to it. But it also helps me relate to patients, I think, because when they have a complaint, I know what it, you know, I saw it in my mom. I could see what it felt like on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, that's an incredible story. We thanks for your time. This was Dr. Abigail Caudill with MD Anderson Cancer Center. She's a surgical oncologist, breast cancer specialist. Is there a way if people want to find you online, Abigail, or can email you questions after they hear the show, or are you open to any of that, or is there a way people can find you and learn a little bit more about you?
Sure. They can go to our website, www.mdanderson.org, and go to the breast cancer site, and there's more information about all of us and about breast cancer in general. So that's probably the best way because we have all kinds of resources on that website. But certainly you can find me on that website, Abigail Caudill.
Well, Abigail, we appreciate your time. Thanks so much for coming on.
No problem.
And I'm glad. I hope the New Year's off to a good start and you had a good holiday season. Thanks again. Come back on anytime, okay?
Okay. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you so much. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Isn't she great?
Yeah. No, she is. And it's yeah, we've had a lot of you know, shows about breast cancer, and it's such an interesting topic, and it was interesting to hear from her when it became very personal with her mom, and
right.
That's why I asked that question, because does life change when someone close to you goes through something like that? So I've always looked at things differently. You know, my dad passed as a result of complications to lung cancer, so I'm always interested to hear those kinds of stories. But, you know, on the flip side, you know, MD Anderson Cancer Center is doing some incredible research, and that, I think, you know, she said the word a couple times, hope, and I think mm-hmm. it's great. I think with what's coming down the pike is is remarkable, and they keep working at it, and people are cured, and it's great. So,
and I can't wait. The next time I go to MD Anderson, I'm going to look at that pink brick. I've never noticed that the entire time I've been at MD Anderson. Yeah.
Yeah, it's neat. And I did that. You know, it's funny because I covered that a lot, the Race for the Cure, and it's just an incredible movement when you go out and see these people walking and what they've gone through and how far they've come. And I mean, most of us are affected by somebody that's had breast cancer, friends, family, whatever. And it's a topic that needs to be addressed probably more than it is. And it's addressed a lot, but it affects a lot of people. So she was great. No, she did a great job. And wow, can you believe we're in 2017 already? We've already. It's crazy.
Happy New Year.
Yes, happy.
I forgot to tell you
happy,
that earlier.
Yes, happy and healthy New Year to you, and we're looking forward to another year. We've already been doing. How long? When did we start? February last year? Almost a year already.
Almost a year. I can't believe it. It's gone by so fast.
Almost a year, and we really have to thank. I have to thank you personally because you have been in charge. Not only are you good on the air, but you also booked a lot of these guests. And I don't think you've had a bad guest yet.
Oh,
so
well, thank you.
Keep up the good
work. Enjoy it. I enjoy it. You have the media background. I have a little bit
right.
of the wellness background, so we're a great team.
Right, and I'm afraid that if I go and pick guests out, they won't be very good. Like, I'll go pick out a professional wrestler or something, and I'll be like, oh, my God, what does he have to do with, with wellness?
That'd be cool. We had a professional wrestler. Remember?
That's right, we did. We did a wrestler and a football coach and all. Yeah,
yeah.
No, we've had a very kind of eclectic group of guests so far. But we're looking for big things in 2017. This has been something that we've worked on for a lot. Our producer Mel D is promising big things with what we're doing here in 2017. So. Kind of good to get back on the horse here after taking a month off and now you and I can keep moving forward. So happy New Year to you and everybody else that's out there.
Yeah.
So happy health and all that good stuff. So, all right, we're going to wrap it up. That's going to do it for this week. Happy New Year, everybody. Stay healthy and take care of each other. And we will see you back here next week. See ya.